Maybe you know the game operator. Somebody tells something, so I tell somebody something, who tells that to somebody else, who tells that to somebody else, and so on. So what often happens in this game of operator? Somebody can shout this out. What happens? What was that? It gets scrambled. The message gets lost. Yeah, it changes a little bit each time. Maybe we didn't hear real clearly, or we kind of heard our own thoughts more than the others, whatever happens. As the message goes on, it often changes. I want you to imagine a different thing. Let's imagine that I have, well, we won't make it a cup. I've got a bucket of water, and I want to share it. And so then I come to you, and I pour some of that into your cup, and then I go to somebody else and pour it in theirs, and then they turn around and pour it into somebody else's cup, and then that person turns around and pours some into the next cup. So what happens when we do this? It gets smaller and smaller. The farther it goes, the less that people get. With that image in mind, I want to pray today that we would each have a personal connection with God, that it wouldn't be passing along a cup that we get a little bit from, that God is actively at work, and we would each have this real awareness that God is working with each of us, speaking with each of us individually. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a God of love, that you're a communicating God. We thank you that your desire is that you would be with your people, and you've given your Holy Spirit. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do your work today, that you would speak in each of our hearts, that we would hear from you, and that you would hear our voice, our hearts, that we would know you, that we would be known by you. Thank you for opening the way for us to be in your presence in a rich and powerful way. In Jesus, our Savior, who opened that way, we pray. Amen. The title today is In Every Voice. We're looking at Isaiah 42, and I encourage you to have that text in front of you. I will have it on the screen too, but if you grabbed one of the Bibles or if you still need one from the table, it should be marked in the right place. You can use the QR code to get to the text. We're going to look at a set of verses in Isaiah 42 today, and we'll have a chance to talk about this drawing in a few minutes. First of all, I want to ask for your input on something. This idea of being as far away as possible. So I'm curious if you would shout it out. In your cultural upbringing, what was it that meant, oh, this is a place that's very far away from us, right? So when you grew up and you wanted to talk about something that's really far away on earth, what might you have said? What might have people told you? China. Yeah. I grew up in a place that China is very far away. Yes. Timbuktu. Yeah. Siberia. Others. Down below. Very far, really different place. Yeah, Lord Michigan. How about others? Say that again. Thailand. Okay. Thailand, yeah. How about folks who have a background not in North America? When you wanted to talk about a place that's really far away, what would you say? Yeah? Oh, back there. Okay. Okay, that's great. Thank you. Yeah. Good. Anyone else? Oh, online? America. Yeah, Sam grew up in China. And America seemed very far away. Apparently, there are lots of places in the world that say China, even though, so anybody know what that word means, antipode? So this literally means opposite feet. And the idea is if you look at the globe and you find the exact opposite place, where would you end up? And so apparently because of American TV, lots of people in the world say that China is the opposite spot. But do you know where you'd end up if you started digging in mid-Michigan and went straight through the center, do you know where you'd come out? About as far away from land as you can, somewhere between South Africa and Australia. Out in this place where there's nothing, right? But for some reason, lots of people say, well, that's as far away as you can get. And we have these expressions. Well, I highlight that because I want you to hear this in terms of ancient Israel. In ancient Israel, they were very afraid of water. They were afraid of the seas and the storms. And so when they wanted to say, what's as far away as you can imagine, as different and scary as you can imagine, they said the land around the water. The coastal areas, the islands, this is the place that's as far away as it gets. And literally it comes from the idea of what does a sailor do to get rest? And a sailor who's out on the water just has to find land. And so in ancient Hebrew, it's the same word for coast and island. Doesn't matter what kind of land it is, it's land. And so in Hebrew poetry, when you talk about the place that's as far away as you can imagine, you talk about coastal areas and islands. Okay, now, before we look at the verses that I highlighted, I want to say a few things from the earlier part of Isaiah 42. Verse 9 says this, "See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you." And so Isaiah, in the whole second half of the book, God speaks of a new thing. And the question is, what is this new thing? And this new thing is going to prompt a new song. Well, earlier in these verses, some of these new things stand out. Verse 1 highlights this idea. "Here's my servant. He will bring justice to the nations." Right? They had a very strong sense of we are the people of God, and then there's everybody else. And they had a real strong sense that God's primary work was with the people of God. But the new thing is God is going to do a work to all the peoples, among all the peoples, bringing justice. And justice to me can sound like, oh, somebody's going to come and enforce laws. I think a rich way to understand this justice is God's going to bring his goodness, the goodness of who he is to all the nations. And so then here you see it, verse 4. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. Think about as far away as you can, as foreign to us as you can, and God says those islands are going to put their hope in God. Verse 6, "I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles." Right? A light for the people who are out there and are different, and it'll be a light for them to open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. He says, here's this new thing I'm going to do. And we see in Jesus this action of healing blindness, yet clearly the deeper idea was people who couldn't see God. They didn't know God. They couldn't make sense of the world. And he says, here's my new thing. I'm going to the people who are distant from you and in some sense distant from God, and I'm going to bring them light and vision and life. And so in the New Testament, this is highlighted as Jesus being one who brings a light, who is the light, to the nations. Okay, so now, verse 10. And we'll just walk through these eight verses from Isaiah 42, verse 10. "Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them. Let the wilderness and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands." So stop there for a second. The first thing you may have noticed is, depending upon your translation, where I said islands, you may have read something like coastlands. And some translations actually say both, because it's a combination of them. But he says he wants a new song to be sung to the ends of the earth. As far as you can go, all these places, he wants a new song to be sung there. But I just skipped over a word, and I really want us to see it. He says, "Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth." See, when I read this, I normally think the new song is going to go to the ends of the earth. But he says, no, at the ends of the earth, this song is going to arise. As far away from you as you can imagine, this song is going to arise. And then he says, you who go down to the sea, and Israel thinks, we don't want to be them. But those who do, people who go down to the end of the sea, and all that is in them, you islands, and all who live in them, the islands, the sea, all these things, reaching out to the places that are not them, and yet saying, this is where God's praise will be. The wilderness and its towns raise their voices. Right? And again, it's not the voices of Israel going out to these places. He says, let their voices raise in praise to God. It mentions Kedar and Selah, these places that are not part of Israel. In fact, there was conflict with them. These are not places that they said, oh, these are the people we like. These are the people where sometimes they were enemies. Let them shout from the mountaintops. And again, from the mountaintops, not to that. And for all of these, he says, let them give glory to the Lord. Again, let them, all these places, he says, here's my new thing. Praise to God is going to come from all these places, all the places of the world. And let them proclaim his praise in the islands. Again, let them give glory to God. And so some things that people have highlighted in looking this passage is this idea that the new believers are to praise God using their voices so there will be yet more new believers. Verse 13. The Lord will march out like a champion. Like a warrior, he will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. For a long time, I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. God says, here's my plan. And he describes himself as going out like a warrior who is intent on victory. This is going to happen. And yet he says, for a long time, I've kept silent. And this is one of the great puzzles of understanding God in the Bible, is why he is silent for so long. He says, for a long time I've kept silent, yet I'm going to move forward like a mighty warrior. And so God's work does advance like a mighty warrior. And yet also the surprise that like a woman in childbirth, he says, I cry out. I don't have firsthand knowledge of pregnancy and childbirth, but I have observed it. And there's some things that I have observed. The journey of pregnancy is a real mixture, sometimes of feeling awful and just thinking I'm so sick, I don't know what to do. Sometimes life is just normal. Sometimes there's enthusiasm and hope, and sometimes there's a burden that seems like it'll never go away. And it's a long journey. And at first there can be great joy, and then there can be a thought, will this ever end? And it's a tough journey. And then labor. And now it's agony. It's agony. And how could this ever be resolved? How could there ever be good? And yet then there is this birth that brings amazing joy. And God says, that's another good analogy for what it's like when God is at work in the world. And there are times that are up and down, and there are times you say, wow, this is so exciting. And times you say, I feel so sick. How am I going to get through this? And then the intensity, and then the joy. That God's work advances like a mighty warrior, and in a surprising way, he says also, like pregnancy and childbirth, where sometimes it seems like it takes forever for him to finish his work. And yet, he says, it will come. And when it comes, it'll come with intensity and then great joy. Verse 15. He says, I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. So verse 15 starts out with this statement about how God says, I'm going to lay waste mountains and hills. And these are things that made travel very hard. An advancing army would struggle to make progress because of these natural things of rivers, and they couldn't get through them. And so I think it's an expression that no obstacles can stop God. That these things that normally slow armies, they won't slow him down. And then this wonderful statement, God says, I will lead the blind. I will lead those who currently don't have knowledge of me. And I'm going to take them into paths they haven't known. And this is a scary place to go when you can't see, right? It's one thing to know the world I know. It's another thing to step into new places. Yet he says, I will be the one who leads them into these new places. And I really want you to see this. God says, I will lead the blind. He doesn't say, I'm going to send my servants to lead the blind. He says, I will lead the blind. I will guide them, he says. I will turn the darkness into light before them. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. That God himself says, I will come and do this work for those who haven't known me. I will lead them in my ways. In this passage in Isaiah, it seems that there's this broad expression that God calls on all humanity to the ends of the earth to join in praise of God using their own voices. He says, this is what I'm going to do. I will bring these voices to give praise to me. I'll lead them. I will accomplish it. It might seem like it's going slowly and take a long time, but I will accomplish it. So, drawing thanks to Karen for this, what do you see up there? What do you see that? Describe what you're seeing. A bunch of ecosystems. Yeah, what are some examples of the ecosystems you see up there? Wetlands. Yeah, we've got wetlands over here. Desert. Forests. Mountains, yeah. Jungle, yeah. Rainforest. We've got some tropical areas. Every part of Earth is to raise its praise to God. Right? Every part is to be expressing its praise to God, and it's to use its own voice. Right? The ecosystems of the world are not all the same. So here's a question, is how in the world does it spread to cover the earth? So forgive me for a moment, biology lesson. We're going to talk about how plants spread. So a vine. Anybody know how long vines can grow to be? They grow to 100 feet more? Vines are just amazing. But here's a key thing about a vine. How many roots are in a vine? There's one root in the vine and a very long plant. So I want you to imagine it's planted right here, and then this vine goes up, it's along the ceiling, it goes all around in here. Imagine all that has to be transported from the root system all the way through it. All the water, the important minerals or other things that it gets from the soil, it's got to transport these a long ways. Right? And it's an amazing thing that the vine can do that. So, a stolon. Anybody know what a stolon is? This is so cool. Here's a different kind of plant. When it spreads, when it touches the dirt, it makes new roots and puts up new branches. And then it goes a little bit further, and it puts new roots down, and new branches go up. And it goes a little bit further, and it does the same thing, and it keeps doing this all along. And guess what you can do? So it started here, and it's grown over here. So I've got roots down there and roots here, and the plant's going across. You can cut the plant right here, and it's fine. You no longer have to have any connection back there, and it'll keep growing. And it'll go on and grow, and wherever it hits the dirt, the new roots go down. And you could cut in between all the root systems, and they'd all grow independently. And here's what's really cool. It grows better if you don't cut it. It's better if you keep them all connected, right? So here's what I think is going on. See, every part of Earth is to raise its praise to God. And so when the gospel spreads, each group is to make its own roots to God. When the gospel comes to a new place, here's a place where the roots are to go into God himself. And each place is to put its own roots into God, to bear its own fruit for God, sing its own songs of praise to God, while staying connected with each other. Right? This is how it's supposed to spread around the world. And it's not a vine. It's not a vine that says, here's God's people, and now they're going to provide for all these people all over the place. They might have brought the first stolon, the first branch, but then put the roots down there, bear fruit there, and it continues on. See, God calls on all humanity to join in flourishing praise, just like all these different ecosystems in their own way are flourishing. God calls on all humanity to join in flourishing praise of God using their own voices. And they do this through Jesus. Because Jesus is the servant that that Isaiah was talking about. That he is the new work. He is the one who prompts this new song. He is the one who brings sight to the blind and reaches out to those who live on the coastlands and the islands so that they would each lift their own voices in praise to God. Now, you might have noticed, I skipped the last verse. So the last verse of that section is a really interesting turn in going through the flow. It says, but those who trust in idols, who say to images, you are our gods, will be turned back in utter shame. And I think that a key thing that God is highlighting through this is that God alone can bring the flourishing of the whole earth. Right? This is a beautiful vision. Right? So many people in wonderful ways say, God, what? Even if people don't believe in God, they say, we would love to see all the peoples of the world flourish together. Turns out that's really hard to make it happen. And he says, if you're going to trust in idols, it's not going to work. If you're going to trust in technology, if you're going to trust in new strategies of education and administration, it's just not going to work because of the human condition. Other things will fail. God alone can make this work. And so what are the implications of this vision of God? Well, one is, it is right and good to spread the good news of Jesus to every people group. Right? That we should spread this word. This is what God's intention was, that he would use his people so that all peoples would know. And a key thing is, it's best to begin where you're best connected. Where is it that you are and you're known and you're trusted, and then to branch out from there. And so in this sense, God's people are to be plants that grow wide. Right? That grow wide with stolons going out, right? That are going to go out and plant new roots and go out and plant new roots. This is what should happen. But here's, I think, a really challenging thing. C.S. Lewis, who wrote this a long time ago. If we discover that people are rejecting something in God that they've never understood, then we've discovered both the problem and the solution. I am convinced that there are so many people, maybe even most people, have never heard someone they know and trust give them a clear and credible explanation of the good news of life from God through Jesus. They know of people who call themselves Christians, and they know of some behavior of those people, but so many people have never heard a clear and compelling explanation of this is what's at the core of it. This is what really is important to me about who Jesus is and how it's changed my life. And maybe they even know that, boy, it changed my life. And this is so important to me. But so many people have never heard somebody say, and here's what's key about it. This is what's central. And we are to be a people who make that clear. And so I just put out there the statement that, is that something you'd like to be better at? Say, yeah, I'd like to be able to give a clear explanation. We've been talking about this in our own life group and want to have the resources and the help together to say, if I had an opportunity to be able to explain briefly what it really means for me to say I follow Jesus, I could give them a clear and compelling case for it. And so many people have never heard that, even people who have known Christians all their lives. They've never heard what it's about. So we need to be a part of spreading this good news of Jesus to all people. And then, as we hear, we each need to grow our own roots in God. Doesn't matter if this is because you've grown up in a household of Christians. At some point, you've got to develop your own roots to God. Other people say, oh, I've told you about Jesus, and you say, oh, this is great, I really appreciate it. You've got to grow your own roots in God. So one of my favorite stories in the New Testament, Jesus went and took good news to a new village that was way distant culturally from the Jewish people. And so he told this woman about this living water, and she went and told all sorts of people and made a compelling case. But here's what these people said to the woman afterwards. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Right? So this is key, is to put down our own roots so that we believe things not because the people around me said we should do it, And this is my own story growing up in a Christian family, is I realized at some point, no, I actually have to have my own roots here. And the question was, when I moved out of the home, do I have my own roots? Or have I just been living off of my parents' roots? Right? And this is key, that God doesn't have grandchildren. Right? God only has children. He can't have children who have children and now we're good. We are to each put our own roots down in God. And then, once we do that, we're to grow up. And that is, we are each to use our own voice to praise God. So, different ecosystems are really different. Some of them have an abundance of water. And it's so wet and it's so thick, they don't get enough sunlight. So what's really key in those ecosystems is to grow tall fast, because you got to get up to the sunlight, right? Others have an abundance of sunlight and no water. And so they have to do something really different, right? So when the gospel spreads around the world, it's essential that people in each place say, so how are we going to praise God with our voice in our setting? The challenges are different. The opportunities are different. And so each place has to figure out its own voice. And one way is privately. That individually we have to say, so who am I and how's God made me? How am I going to worship? And for some people, worship looks an awful lot like studying. Oh, they get out their Bibles and their commentaries, and this is just such a delight to understand God and his ways and to take notes and to organize it. Maybe I could teach this someday. And I think there is a genuine way in which this is a voice of praise to God. And others say that just drives me crazy to think of having to do that. And so if that's not you, then you figure out, so what is it in my setting, in my place, what is it to use the voice God has given me to give praise to him? The temptation is to say we've got to follow the models we've been given. And this is a beautiful thing in Christianity. The beautiful thing is that each time it goes to a new place, it's to put down new roots and make new fruit. It's the same gospel. It's the same good news, but expressed really differently in a new setting. And so then publicly, we want to figure out, what is it for us to worship God in the way that we worship God? And that's one of the things I'm delighted about going to Nigeria, is to say, this is different from my upbringing, right? We knew what people who danced were like, and so we stayed away from them, right? That was a part of my upbringing. And to say, well, you know what? There's a story in that, and it's good to know the story in that. And yet there are other places where if you don't dance, you haven't worshipped, right? And I need to step into this space and allow people to engage in the ways that fit them. And then here's a trick, without belittling others' voices, right? So one of the things that we do is we say, well, this is the real good way to worship God. This is how to express our heart. And people who don't get this, oh, they don't understand, right? Those cactus that are so thick and spiny and there's not much it's exciting about it. Boy, if only they knew what it was like to put out flowers all over the place, right? And we judge the other because it's different. We need to recognize that we're each called to have our voice in worship to God. And I've discovered how easy it's been for me to say, well, no, there's actually one good way, and then there's some variations. And that's not God's model of the world, right? The good news is the standard. It's for all people in all places. That we're never right with God because we're good enough. It's because Jesus took our place. It's because of this goodness of God to sacrifice for us. And this is always the same. And yet how it gets expressed, how it gets experienced, it's going to be really different. We need to learn to use our own voice to praise God. And then to hear the good news from every people group. To say, wow, what a beautiful thing that God has done in this community, and this is part of the wonderful thing this church has done for me, is help me realize that there are beautiful things about God I didn't know. I belittled the sense of God being a relational God. God was a God of truth and justice, and when you violate that, you need forgiveness. And this is true. But I failed to see that God is a God of love and relationship. And it's, you could obey every rule there was, so clear in the Bible, and still be far from God. I didn't see it, though. And it's taken people in a diverse community to help me hear the voices of people who see and experience other parts of God that I don't see. The call is to hear the good news from every people group. And so this is part of what I'm really excited about. The engagement I've had so far and the engagement that I will have in Nigeria, but that's just one experience. We have the opportunity to do it all the time. And it is a delight. Yet I realize when it makes me uncomfortable and I think, well, you know, there's part of that that's not so good, then I give myself the out that says, so maybe it's not very good after all. So I won't have to worry about it. And yet the call is to recognize that God calls on all humanity to join in flourishing praise, right? An abundance of praise that is life-giving and life-filled through Jesus, everyone using their own voices. So years ago, I had the chance to teach a course in a seminary in the Philippines. And so here you're going to see a bit about my own narrow-mindedness. They talked about having, at the church I was at, they were going to have a missionary conference. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. It'll be really interesting to see what the missionaries are doing. And then I found out the Filipino people were the missionaries. They were sending the missionaries out from their church. And it's like, oh, I assumed that I was going to find people who look like me being missionaries in the Philippines. And they said, you know what, we're thrilled with the place God has placed us as Filipino people because of the way we strategically reach so much of Asia. And doors are open to us because of who we are. And it helped me realize. I had this narrow view that says, I know what this is like. I know what happens in missions. And to discover, no. I mean, that's part of the story, right? There are people who look like me who have been powerful, significant missionaries, and even to this day, and yet that is not the normal story. The normal story is wherever God's people are, he's sending people out as missionaries. One of the things I think is challenging is thinking about older and younger generations, because this is another thing that's going on, right? Younger generations have to learn their own voice, learn to express worship of God and evangelism in a way that fits a younger generation. And yet the same continues to be true about older generations, right? We need to do this without judgment, without saying, oh, well, let's, you know, the old people, they're dying out, so let's just shift and make this oriented around young people. And no, we need everybody. We need the voices of all people to put together this richness that is beyond any one of us. I want to finish by reading part of Psalm 98, this expression of just the wonder of God's work in all the earth, and our hope and our prayer that he would use us as a part of this beautiful work that he is in bringing his praise through the voices of the peoples to the ends of the earth, from my perspective, knowing that from so many people's perspective, I'm the one at the end of the earth. I'm the one that's strange and far and different. And knowing that together in Christ, we lift up a harmony of so many different pieces together in a beautiful whole. So Psalm 98 says, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He's remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your global vision. We thank you for your heart that the voices from every tribe and people and language and nation would rise up and speak in their own voice, in their own culture, in their own ways, in their own stories to give praise to you as our God, to give praise to Jesus, the one Savior for all peoples. And to rejoice in the power and the unity that comes by your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that you would help us each to grow in our knowledge of you, that we would send out your message in a way that empowers people to know you personally and to express their worship of you in ways that fit them as they also join the chorus of voices from the ends of the earth to give praise to you, our God. we pray that your kingdom would grow, that you would raise up workers, that you would empower us to give you praise together for your glory. In our Savior we pray. Amen.